Welcome to On DOD on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Now, your host, Jared Serbu.
And thanks for listening this week. On the program this time, we take an in-depth look at electronic health records within the Defense Department. A lot of moving parts to DOD's EHR right now. As we go to air, the Defense Department has just sent Congress an interim notification that it's in compliance with a 2014 mandate to make its existing EHR system interoperable with the Department of Veterans Affairs and its VISTA system. VA officials expect to issue a similar certification sometime in 2016. Meanwhile, DOD is still in the early stages of rolling out a brand new commercial off-the-shelf electronic health record based on Cerner's health information technology. That brand new EHR will start to be installed at clinics and some ships in the Pacific Northwest region toward the end of fiscal 2016. Our guest this week is in charge of both of those major lines of effort, interoperability on the legacy systems and the acquisition and management of the new EHR. Chris Miller is DOD's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Modernization. He talked with me by phone from his offices in Northern Virginia, and note that our conversation was recorded just a few days before DOD issued the certification I just mentioned. Let's talk first about that certification. I mean, Congress mandated several different things as part of the 14 NDAA. The verbiage that I think both departments have been using is that you'll certify that you're fully interoperable with VA. But as I read the text of the bill, the actual mandate we're talking about is that you comply with ONC standards for exchanging health data. So clarify a bit of that for me, if you would, and tell us exactly what you're going to certify.
Yeah, so the Department of Defense will certify that our health records are interoperable and also that we can provide an integrated display of data. And that data will also comply with the national standards that have been identified by the DOD and the VA Interagency Program Office. Those have obviously been closely coordinated with the Office of the National Coordinator for Health IT, which is called ONC. And so in short, we're basically saying that we can share information and it's usable on both the DOD side and the VA side for the DOD information that we provide.
So in other words, just complying with the ONC standards doesn't get you where you need to be in terms of interoperability. You've got to get a bit more granular than that. Is that fair?
That is fair, right? You know, standards are a little bit of a challenge because, A, we have a lot of standards, and then secondly, you have to understand how those standards apply to your use case. And so what we've done over the past couple of years is actually work between our two departments very collaboratively with the IPO to sort of get a more granular level with those standards and make sure that those standards meet sort of our use cases for transitions of care and things like benefits adjudication and other things where health information is important between our two departments.
Now, the certification that you're getting ready to issue here is about a year later than Congress, well, a year and a month really, later than Congress had initially told you to do it. Talk a bit about the reasons why it took longer than Congress wanted to get there.
Yeah, so A, I would tell everybody, we're dealing with a large amount of information. Both the DOD and the VA have been electronic health record technology area for some time. And in the case of DOD, we've had a couple of decades of having electronic systems. So we have a lot of data. Secondly, you know, there's a number of standards, and those standards need to be sort of agreed to what we're going to actually use to target as part of this. And then the last piece is, on the case of DOD, actually, and with the VA, I should say here, is that when we sat down, we worked through sort of what our use cases are and what the requirements are, we actually found out that even though the NDAA in 2014 required just our outpatient system, which is called ALTA, we actually got requirements for going well beyond our outpatient system to include our inpatient and theater systems. And so when we got all those requirements on the table and we looked at the complexity, basically we sat down and we baselined our schedule and we realized it was going to take us a little bit longer than what the bill had initially expected. I should say. And so we wanted to do it right, and so we thought that doing it right would obviously take a little longer. But at the end of the day, we have some very happy customers, and we're able to see more information than ever, and our usage of the system is up significantly. And so really it's a combination of the complexity as well as better understanding the requirements and also making sure that we're smart in the deployment of it so that we really got the buy-in and our users were getting what they needed.
Not to split hairs too much on verbiage, but I want to drill down on the certification you're making that you're now interoperable with VA, because their testimony a couple weeks ago was that they're not going to be ready to certify that they meet the ONC standards until sometime in 2016. So if they're not quite at the point of certification yet, what does it actually mean in terms of real world interoperability between the two departments?
So in terms of real world, I don't think it's a major issue because we're still exposing all the information, right? And so the standards piece basically is getting us positioned for when we want to start using that information and to do some advanced decision making. But today, between the DoD and the VA, you know, we share more information than any two large health systems, and so that data is exposed. And so what the VA is doing is sort of what DoD went through, is actually going through the mapping of some of those remaining data areas to the national standard, so that in the future, when we start building some more advanced tools that can take advantage of computable information, that they'll be positioned to do that.
Computable information is key there, because that talking point that you just used, that we share more health data than any two large IT systems, has been around for many years. But the knock on that from Congress has always seemed to be, and they said this in the 14 NDAA, was that's nice, but it's mostly read-only information. It's not computable in real time. How true is that still today? How much progress have you made on that front?
Well, I would tell anybody that it's real time today, and I would tell anybody that being able to see the information and make decisions and is really a critical piece. I think what we have to recognize with any of these large healthcare systems is that there's more than just the technology at play here. We've got to think about the training and the tools and the comfort, how comfortable people are to be able to really use the system. And so I actually believe that what we've done is we've created a point now where both departments are ready to really start talking about how they can build sort of advanced systems that will be able to really use that information to really improve the health outcomes. But we had to get to this point where we had to really understand what the requirements were. We had to have the standards. We had to have our data mapped so that we can kind of get to this point. I could share a lot of great stories with you about how what we've done the last couple of years has given back time. We've been able to do things we've never been able to do previously. But that's just all kind of getting us ready for, I think, what the future holds. Which is really where I think the DoD and the VA have a great opportunity, is really being able to take that data and really start doing some really powerful things with it. But we had to get to this point by making sure everything was ready.
Let me take you up on that offer to share some stories. I'm interested in hearing a bit more about what you've done over the past 2 years, even prior to the award of a new EHR system, which we'll also talk about later.
So let's talk about some basic things, which is, you know, when we sort of got the direction from Congress that we really wanted you to start attacking the interoperability thing. The first thing we really got together on the requirement side, and we really documented what we needed. And so, you know, we have a joint requirements board that sits between the DoD and the VA, and those people kind of help frame it. But then what we did is we actually went through a very iterative process. I mean, I think a lot of people think that the government takes a long time to deliver things, and we can't seem to ever get anything out the door. Well, in this case, what we did is we actually did a very much an incremental delivery. And so we actually, over the last 2 years, we've actually had four deliveries of this, of the infrastructure and the viewer that actually allows a provider or a benefits analyst on either DoD and the VA to be able to see what's out there. And so that's a pretty significant amount of increase. I mean, four deliveries in 24 months is moving pretty quickly, but that's how we kind of went about attacking the problem. Secondly, we basically went through a sort of a crawl, walk, run, if you will, on how we expose the system. So initially, we had a few hundred users because we wanted to make sure people gave us feedback. We continued to take that and incorporate in the next build. And so we've iteratively kind of continued to deploy the system. And today, you know, we're over 30,000 users in both DoD and VA that have access to the system. And it's the exact same system. I think this is one of the things in the past that has really posed a challenge for us, is that, you know, we would share information, but it'd be in a system that wasn't very user-friendly, or it'd be a VA system or a DoD system. And today what we've done is really, you know, provide a single system between DoD and VA for being able to look at an integrated record for no matter where the data comes from. You can see it, and it's displayed in a way that our providers and clinicians and people need to see the information are very comfortable with it, and they can configure it to whatever kind of role they happen to have doing their job.
You're talking mostly about the joint legacy viewer, I take it, in terms of those 30,000
users? Well,
that's
users. The view, right. That's been the viewer that we've used to date. In the case of VA, they actually have a follow-on program called the Electronic Health Management Platform, or EHMP. It looks very, very similar to JLV. That's kind of their part of their modernization strategy. And in the case of DoD, we will continue to use JLV, and it'll be part of our EHR modernization program going forward.
And how integrated is it with the tool sets that a clinician would use to actually enter data? I mean, when we say joint legacy viewer, is that how apt is that viewer term? Is it literally read-only when we're looking at the other department's data?
So when you're looking at the other department's data, it's just like when you deal with any other external organization's data right now. And so yes, it is read only, but it's the first of our journey, if you will, to kind of get where we need to be. And so basically, right now, in the case of DOD, it's integrated into our outpatient system today, which is Alta, as I mentioned earlier. And so within Alta, you click on something, you get a notification if there's data from an external source, and then basically from there you can get access and see the information. The provider will then obviously document in the system that they're using. And that's very similar to where the market is nationally. We recognize we need to do more, but as I mentioned earlier, in order to be able to kind of take that next step, we had to make sure we could access all the information, and B, we had to agree to some common terminology, which is a standards piece. And so then moving forward, I think we are positioned to be able to do things like be able to make it more interactive and write back. But there's a lot of policy issues there, right? While technically I might be able to show somebody how easy it might be to write something back, there's a lot of policy implications when you think about readiness or you think about population health that you kind of have to think through with some of these technology systems.
That's Chris Miller, the Defense Department's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. Still ahead this hour, we'll talk about the latest on DOD's procurement of a new commercial electronic health record. But when we come back after the break, we'll talk more about making DOD's existing systems interoperable with VA, a longstanding demand from Congress. This is On DOD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Serbian. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu. And let's get back to our conversation with Chris Miller, the Defense Department's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. We're talking this hour about the Pentagon's progress toward installing a new commercial health IT system and making its legacy systems more interoperable with VA. As we mentioned earlier, DOD has just sent Congress an interim notification that it's now compliant with the standards that would make it interoperable with Veterans Affairs. Obviously, Congress has been pushing for a long time, since before your time coming on board this EHR project, for both departments to get together and use a single health IT system. And you heard some more of that when you testified a couple weeks ago. And your testimony was basically that, look, guys, you can't just decide to use the same software suite and then declare yourselves interoperable. And I was wondering if you could talk a bit more about why that's the case, why this is more about more than, you know, let's just use Vista or let's build one software platform.
Well, I think, you know, with any business system, I think it's important to recognize that the technology is only part of the equation. You have to think through the process piece, how you use the system. You have to think through your people piece, how you want to do things, because those things are really, at the end of the day, what really drive how systems operate, right? I mean, I could give everybody the exact same piece of technology, but if we decide to use the technology differently, we're not going to necessarily be able to share information seamlessly. And so what I've been trying to get everybody to recognize is a couple things. One is we need to have a bigger discussion about how we really want to use this technology and how we want to start to get more commonality. And then when you think about our processes and our data and our terms, because to me, that is the much bigger discussion. I think if you were to talk to any large healthcare providers out there, they would tell you they fight the same battle even when they have a single system regionally, because if you don't get people on the same mindset and we aren't being, you know, consistent in how we do things, data is not going to be seamless. And so I think everybody likes to think that this is all a technology problem, and really it's not. I think there's a lot more to it. My second comment to everybody is that you have to recognize that there are different populations in the DOD and the VA, and there are different missions. You know, obviously in the case of DOD, we have to take care of our family members, we have to take care of our active duty, we have to take care of our veterans. But that's sort of a different population, and also we have to also operate in places that the VA won't ever operate. We have to be able to operate forward on board ships. We have to be able to operate in theater, like in Afghanistan. And so that drives sort of different sort of requirements. And then the last thing I tell everybody is that for both DOD and the VA, the majority of our health care that actually gets provided actually comes from the private market. In the case of DOD, it's through our TRICARE contracts. And so the reality is we're going to have to figure out interoperability and how to figure out how to move information if we want to ever be able to get to the point where someone's record truly has everything the way I think Congress is expecting to have it. And so when you put all those factors together, I think it's less about the system and it's more about each department really figuring out the best business strategy to meet all their requirements. And so if the DOD were to adopt VISTA, we'd have to go through a whole lot of things to make it meet all of our requirements. You have to go through a whole lot of change management and training. And so all those factors have to get weighed in. At the end of the day, I think, like I said in my testimony, I think both DOD and VA recognize we need to do some things to modernize and improve how we operate so that in the future, I think that discussion about a single system would be much more logical. But today, I really do believe we're ahead of ourselves in thinking that either department could really come together and provide and operate on a single system.
And kind of to that last point, my sense from your testimony was that, you know, it's your view that if the two departments had pressed ahead a couple years ago with a single EHR, it would not have gone well. Tell me if I'm missing.
It would not have gone well. No, you're correct. I think we're ahead of ourselves technically. B, I don't think we recognized all the other factors that go into deploying a major business IT system like this. I think we would have not done well, and I think we would be getting criticism for a lot of other reasons right now.
Before we move on to the new modernized EHR, let's talk about another piece of the interoperability that we haven't talked about yet, which is interacting with private sector providers who I think provide something like 60% of the care within DOD. How interoperable are you with those commercial sector providers right now, and what are you doing to make yourselves more so?
Well, a couple of things along those lines. You know, basically, and that's part of our partnership with ONC. Along those lines, basically, we have been working with the eHealth Exchange and with the people in the health information exchanges. There is agreed to standards about how you move that data, and we're actually in the process right now of onboarding partners well in advance of modernizing our EHR. We recognize that this is an area that we have to do better, and so we've been very smart about how we went about doing this, and so we're just now in the process. We've actually implemented our first round this year of private sector partners that we want to start exchanging health data with, and we'll continue to improve that over the coming years. And then obviously as we modernize, it'll become even more seamless. But we have basically, you know, leveraged the ONC standards, and we've worked through on our side how to make sure that we can get the information into our provider's hands. It's actually the same viewer. I mean, one of the things I've been trying to make people understand is when we view health information, it really shouldn't matter where it's coming from, and the providers just want access to it. And so originally we were going to provide a separate kind of way to view that data, and we said that doesn't make a lot of sense. And so it's actually been integrated into our same product that we deal with the VA as we deal with our private sector partners. And I think you're going to continue to see us work down this road. I think the challenge is when we deal with the private sector, they are much more transactional oriented. They don't, and DOD and VA have a longitudinal perspective over the record, and I think that's something that we're bringing to the table and helping ONC as they think about their standards moving forward with how you share data with the private sector.
Interesting. So, and is that fairly bidirectional? In other words, can a clinician at an MTF see a prior patient interaction and records from that occurred offsite at a private medical facility?
Yes, it goes both ways. So when we refer, we will be able to send their information, and then when they get care out in town, we'll be able to get that information back and into our provider's hands.
Chris Miller is DOD's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. Another short break here, and when we come back, we'll talk about DOD's procurement of a modernized health IT system and how it intends to make sure that new system and its legacy IT can operate in tandem. This is On DOD on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jared Servio. Thanks for listening to federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu. Our guest this week is Chris Miller, the Defense Department's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. We've been talking mostly in the hour so far about the notification DOD just sent to Congress, asserting that its legacy health IT systems are now compliant with the national standards that would make its current electronic health record meaningfully interoperable with VA. Let's talk about the modernized EHR system that you're working on right now. Obviously, we had a contract award a couple months back.
what has happened since then, and what are you planning between now and I think the end of 16 is your first deployment?
So as you highlighted, we had our contract award at the end of July. Since then, we've been sort of doing the traditional kickoff things, right? We had a big conference. We got everybody, in town. We talked about what was going on. We talked about the system. We talked about sort of, how we were going to go and kind of move out smartly. So that was our first big thing that we had in September, was really our kickoff conference. And then since then, we've been working through our final requirements and our initial design baseline. And so basically, the vendor had a proposal. We're kind of going through our due diligence on the government side to make sure it meets our requirements. And then once we kind of work through that process here over the next month, and then we'll actually be ready to start testing next year. And so once we get through the testing, then we're on track basically to go and ask Mr. Kendall for approval to do some limited fielding. And then that will ultimately be what we'll field by later next calendar year in the Pacific Northwest region. We've got a lot of work to do, obviously. Now we've actually got a real product. We're doing a lot of work making sure that our users are comfortable, making sure our workflows make sense, and making sure we understand sort of all the pieces that will need to be connected to make sure the system meets our requirement. But we're going to test it hard. I mean, we recognize that this thing has to work. We recognize the importance of it, and we're going to make sure we do our due diligence on behalf of all of our taxpayers to get the best system possible.
And as you kind of alluded to before, this would be complex enough if it was just being installed at shoreside medical facilities, but you've also got to go into, combat theaters. You've got to go aboard a few hundred Navy ships. Is that more complex stuff going to happen in the early days of fielding, or at least the testing?
The testing will. So what will happen is that we sort of do a crawl, walk, run on the testing. So the first thing is the contractor will do their test. Then the government will bring in our testing, and as part of our government testing, we'll test different operating environments to reflect sort of what the mission is. And so some of those do include operational. And then, ultimately, before I go ask Mr. Kendall for approval to field anything in an operational environment, I have to demonstrate that I've done all my homework and that we've proven that it works in our lab environments that represent the operating environment.
And there was another piece of the NDAA that spoke to the modernized health record, which, as I read it, basically told you that you needed to have it fully deployed by the end of fiscal year 2016. I don't think you're going to get quite that far, but what's your messaging to Congress on whether or not you've sort of at least met the spirit of that mandate or are working toward it?
We've worked very closely with Congress. I mean, I've been over there a number of times to talk about our plan and talk about, what we're doing. I think Congress is comfortable, but I had to, kind of remind people that in the case of DOD, we're looking at over 1,000 different locations that all have to be upgraded. And when you look at what requires to take out the legacy business systems or medical IT systems and replace them with a new modernized EHR, this is not something you do over a weekend, right? And this is something that, we're leveraging industry. And generally in industry, it's a 9 to 12 plus month process of engaging them, getting them comfortable, getting them trained, and then going through the go live process. And so when you lay down and you lay that down and you look at a number of sites, it's just not physically possible for us to deploy all of our sites by the end of 2016. And I'm a strong believer in that. I'm not going to stand up and say I can do something if I don't believe we can get it done. And so I'm trying to set realistic expectations. We're trying to do what's right. And basically on our side, we're in the process of negotiating with our vendor how long it will take to fully deploy. And obviously I got to be successful at my IOC sites where I'm doing some first operational testing. And then we'll go back and tell Congress what we think sort of an optimized model is to get this done right. I think this is too important for something to just be rushed out the door. And so you're going to see us committed to doing this the right way. I think that's also why we've pushed so hard on the interoperability piece, because I believe that's what Congress is really after. And so I think I can do a lot to get us a good ways down the road interoperability piece well in advance of finishing our fielding of our modernized system.
And one of the sort of guiding principles that you guys have talked about since the start of this DHMSM project was that it needed to be a commercial system and you needed to modify it as little as possible. And yet, you've got a lot of interesting use cases that no system like this has ever been used in before. So talk about how you maintain that discipline to not modify the underlying commercial stuff and yet still make it usable for the missions that you need to perform.
So I would say a couple things. One is I think we all need to recognize healthcare is healthcare, right? I think this is what's unique in this area is that, you know, a lot of our providers work on the outside. A lot of our providers get trained. And so fundamentally, healthcare is healthcare. I think what's different in our case is the operating environment. Nobody does some of the missions that we do, and we recognize that. But fundamentally, at the end of the day, how you do something isn't all that different. It's just more of what kind of operating environment you have to do it in. Secondly, what we've done is we've established some very concrete guiding principles that the entire military health system has basically signed off on. And a key one of that really is we want to configure the system, not customize the system. And so what that means is every time we engage our vendor, we are looking for ways to figure out how to make the current system work without having to do any kind of customization. We fully recognize that I can't be perfect here, right? I think we recognize that there are going to be some unique circumstances that we're going to have to partner with one of our vendors, whether it's Cerner on the medical side or it's Henry Schein on the dental side. But we are trying to minimize that as much as possible because what we're really after is changing our business model. You know, back in the day when I was on active duty, you know, we were still building our own email systems. You know, we were building a lot of that IT stuff. And today we don't do that anymore, right? I mean, Microsoft and Cisco and other people take care of that. I think we're trying to do the same thing in the military health side. We're trying to be, you know, really optimize our use of the system and not really try to continue to be developers of these kind of systems. Because the reality is we think we've recognized in DOD we can't keep up. It's not one of our real strengths inside the Department of Defense doing software development. And so really what we're trying to do is change our business model to really being a smart consumer, a smart buyer, and really figuring out how to leverage those things. Because we think there's a lot of great emerging capabilities coming on the commercial side, and we just want to be able to take advantage of them.
And as you deploy that commercial system, you know, like any big business system, you got to keep the legacy stuff running at the same time while you're deploying the new stuff. So two questions on that, really. One, how do you minimize the cost of operating two systems in parallel? And two, how integrated is the modernized system with the legacy system? Can they communicate data back and forth to one another? Because it seems like that's something you would want.
Right. So we know one of the things I've told everybody is that we've got to keep the legacy systems going because, you know, obviously we've got to meet our mission today. And so you just can't take all the money out of your legacy systems if you want to make sure you have a successful transition. I think that's an important idea, and it's something that we've gotten support for inside of DOD. But you've got to keep those systems going. Secondly, the migration and the interconnection between the legacy and the new is something we spend a lot of time on. There is data that we are going to want to migrate from our legacy systems, but also given the time that it takes for us to modernize, there are also a number of interfaces and a number of requirements for us to be able to make sure data gets back into our legacy system, and we're working on that. And we think we have a good handle on it. We've had a number of meetings with our functional community to make sure we get the requirement right, because not all data is equal. I think that's one of the things I've learned the most about the health IT world. There's a lot of data, but it's not all equal, and some things are more important, and we're working through that to make sure that we can continue to have both systems operating while we work through the transition. We recognize that there's going to come a point where we really don't want to do much more on our legacy side, but it has to be able to still meet the mission requirements. And so we're working through that closely. You know, we spend a lot of time, obviously, with the folks at DHA that own the legacy systems, and we're trying to make sure we're as smart as we possibly can be about making that transition.
That's Chris Miller, the Pentagon's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. One last break, and he'll join us for one more segment when we come back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu. Back on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is On DOD. I'm Jared Serbu. A few minutes left with Chris Miller, DOD's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. We're talking this hour about the ongoing process to buy and install a brand new electronic health record, adjusting DOD's legacy IT systems to conform with national standards and make them interoperable with the Department of Veterans Affairs.
You mentioned toward the beginning of our conversation, Chris, that you know just simply meeting the ONC standards was not sufficient to get DoD and VA to full interoperability. I wonder, as you've gone through that process and adopted the standards, whether you think you've started to influence the national standards for everybody else based on really the long history of experience that both departments have with electronic health records, and are you planning to exert more of that influence?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things that and this is why I think the IPO between DoD and VA is so critical, because we have an incredible amount of experience. We have a great use case. We do a lot of things. And so one of the things I have been advocating for, and I talk to ONC regularly, is we need to use DoD and VA and really a role to be able to help with some of these standards discussions. And so we actually have gotten much more involved between DoD and VA and are really trying to help with some of the emerging standards. I mentioned the one with the private sector is called a CCDA. We've also been involved more and more with some of the HL7 balloting. But absolutely, we think we have a lot to offer between DoD and VA to really help at the national level improve interoperability. And we're doing everything possible that we can to help ONC as well as to help educate some other people. Because as you highlighted, we have a long history here, and we think we have a lot that other people could benefit. And I just think it's just going to continue us or require us to continue to stay engaged and be active.
Can you say a bit more about the current role of that interagency program office that you mentioned? It's been around since, I think, 2008, and its job has kind of morphed over time as the strategy for interoperability and integration has changed. What is that office working on right now? What are its roles and responsibilities?
So the IPO, as you mentioned, has been around for some time, and so the IPO basically acts as our single point of accountability and development and the implementation of our the standards and the technical guidance required to have fully interoperable health systems between the DoD and the VA. So they basically lead our efforts to implement the National Health Data Standards, and they're also responsible for establishing, monitoring, and approving the technical standards and the profiles that are required for seamless integration between our two departments. And so they act as our technical voice and as a technical leader to make sure that as DoD and VA go about making changes and modernizing and improving their systems, that they're doing things in a smart way. And then they take the feedback from the two departments and then take that forward to places like ONC to make sure that lessons learned and sort of things that are happening as part of our modernization get incorporated in sort of the larger national health IT standards arenas. And so it's a very technical organization. They don't necessarily get out in front of a ton of people right now because it's a fairly tight community, but it's a very important organization. And I would tell you, in the case of DoD, the standards and the technical profiles that they established were key parts of our evaluation and how we thought about the selection of our modernized system on the DoD side.
And what's the interrelationship between the IPO and the two departments? I mean, when the IPO technical folks settle on a standard, is it basically taken as gospel by the two departments? Or, I mean, can you go back to them and say, no, this doesn't work for us, go back to the drawing board?
So I'd remind everybody that the IPO works for both departments, right? And
sure.
So they actually work for both the DoD and the VA. And so in the case of, like, the standards discussions, what happens is usually those things are done in a forum, in a venue where DoD and VA stakeholders are part of the discussion and are included. And so our objective is to figure out how to put the right smart people in the room and get to those decisions. If there's not a consensus, then we have a governance structure where the leadership of the two departments will get together with the IPO, and we actually have our meeting tomorrow on that, and they routinely review things. And if there is a point of debate, then that's the governance level that will take care of those kinds of discussions. But for the most part, I mean, as you can appreciate, the technical community, they can kind of figure most of this stuff out. And it's a very vibrant community. It's a lot of stuff's going on. And so they work very closely between the two departments to make sure we're doing the right things as we move forward technically.
Just to finish up, I mean, over the past half hour, we've talked about really two gargantuan programs that you're running in parallel, improving the legacy and implementing a modernized system. Within each of those buckets, what would you say your biggest challenges are and the things that you're paying the most attention to right now?
Well, yeah, you know, what I try to do is I try to make sure everybody recognizes that interoperability and modernization aren't the same thing. And really, interoperability is something that we've got to continuously be engaged with and continuously focus on. And in the case of interoperability, what I'm trying to do most right now is maintain a close interaction between our functional community and our technical community, because I think where we've made progress the last couple years has really been because I've closely linked the people that are building the systems and the people that are using the systems, and so that we really are delivering something that makes a difference. I tell people, you know, in my business, you know, success is coming from our users. Success isn't getting something out the door. Success is actually getting positive feedback, getting reports about how a system's making a difference in their workflow. And I could share some of those with you. But to me, that's really what's important, is we've got to continue to have a close connection between our users and our developers so that we're continuing to make things better on the interoperability front. Interoperability is not a one-and-done thing, right? It's something that requires a continuous improvement. And so as we go through our modernization, it's something we can't take our eye off of. But my modernization effort is fundamentally about a larger business transformation to really replace all the underlying infrastructure that supports our providers inside of our facilities today. And on that side, what I worry about is these are large, complex systems, and it's important that we have all the right people in the room so that we understand that what we're doing makes sense and it's going to work at the enterprise level. These systems just aren't about documenting healthcare. These systems run our facilities. They do an incredible amount of things, and it's important that we have all the smart people in the room, and so that when we make a decision about a workflow or a process or an interface, that we really are doing the right thing, because this is going to make a tremendous impact, but we want to make sure we make a positive impact in our deploying a system for the future that's open, that's secure, and will be there to be able to grow as our future requirements change.
Chris Miller is DoD's Program Executive Officer for Healthcare Management Systems. He joined us by phone from his office in Arlington, Virginia, to talk about DoD and VA health IT interoperability and the procurement of a brand new modernized health record within the Defense Department. If you missed any of our conversation, we will post this week's full program, as always, at federalnewsradio.com/ondod. That's going to do it for this week's program. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. I'm Jared Serbin. So long.
You've been listening to On DoD with Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. On DoD, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.